Welcome to Make It Rain with Adam Schein on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Oh, yes. Hello, Friday. Friday edition of Make It Rain with Adam Schein here on VSiN. And my goodness, there is so much to do today. We've got a ton of baseball, baseball betting, baseball review, baseball preview. We've got Rafael Devers taking on the Boston Red Sox just a few days after the controversial trade. Buckle up, Buttercup. This is going to be fascinating. College World Series preview. We're going to get into it with Jensen Lewis. We'll talk to Jensen about some plays for Major League Baseball tonight. Great baseball betting day, great baseball betting weekend. We will get into some fascinating commentary from Connor McDavid, who did not exactly sound like someone ready to commit to the Edmonton Oilers. Dodgers-Padres was fascinating last night. We will get into the Yankees, what lies ahead for the Yankees, for the Dodgers, for the Padres. So much to do on this Friday edition of Make It Rain with Adam Schein. We'll get into Caitlin Clark. Boy, we whiffed on all our props last night for Caitlin Clark. We did hit on Breanna Stewart, but we were 0 for 4 on Caitlin. Picked a wrong time to go all in on betting the over on the points and the threes and the assists and the rebounds. And she responded with the worst games ever played in the WNBA. But let's obviously start with the Indiana Pacers and the Oklahoma City Thunder. And my goodness, that was wild. Yes, sir. Yes, sirs. Hell yes, sirs. That was one of the all-time great performances in the history of sports by a team facing elimination. Forget the final score of 108-91. That doesn't hit it home. This was a game where Indiana was up by 31 points. It was the blowout of all blowouts. This was, for the Indiana Pacers, a gutsy, amazing derriere kicking. This was a stunning, jarring, pathetic, alarming, as someone who bets OKC at every single turn to win a championship, alarming no-show by the Thunder in a clinching game. Let's be honest here. OKC had no edge, no pop, no sizzle, no zip, no juice, nothing. This was like a random game going up against the Sacramento Kings on a Wednesday in December. What an embarrassment. The Pacers absolutely owned this one. And I think the most important thing we have to do is talk about the runs. Because frankly, when the game started, you almost got to jog the mental Rolodex to remember this. And it's 10-2 OKC. I'm thinking, great. It's going to go exactly as we anticipated. Then you saw, after it was 10-2 OKC, the Pacers proceeded to outscore the Thunder 68-32. 68-32 over the next 24 minutes. Outscored them 36-17 in the second quarter. It was 64-42 at halftime. And how about at the end of the half, that incredible play, Halliburton hugging the sideline and is able to rifle that no-look pass to a streaking Pascal Siakam, Spicy P, who doesn't always jam. His teammates like to get on him on that. Posterizes Jalen Williams in your face. That was absolutely the ultimate exclamation point at the end of that first half. And that was really, in a lot of ways, all she wrote. I mean, there was no answer in the second half. This was not a competitive sporting event in any way, shape, or form. For all the rightful, I might add, conversation and consternation about Tyrese Halliburton with the calf. Would he play? Should he play? You knew he was going to go, listed as questionable. Did not think he was going to go and play like this. I mean, we all saw Game 5, one of the worst performances in the history of the NBA Finals by a player playing over 30 minutes, especially for someone like Halliburton, who's been outstanding, right? All postseason long, all regular season long, all these theatrics and historic moments. Game 5 was awful. You know, this was, and I watched the pregame show like you, Shams Charania, our good friend from ESPN, Bob Myers, who was the architect of the Golden State Warriors, they talked about the nature of this injury being a 2-3 week injury if you have a strained calf. Was Rick Carlisle playing the old okey-doke with the press? Look, you can make that case. Clearly, the injury was a non-factor. Clearly, it was a factor, sake of fairness to OKC and Carlisle in game number 5. I thought Halliburton was awesome. 14 points, 5 assists, 2 steals, only 1 turnover. He was plus 25 on the night. And he only had to play 23 minutes because it was lopsided. How about what the bench was able to do? TJ McConnell, Obi Toppin, absolutely awesome. Obi had just a tremendous night. 20 points, 23 minutes. Bombing those threes early. Ain't no stopping our guy Obi Toppin. Off the bench, able to rock and roll. Ridiculously impressive. Doing the celebration. Instant offense. And how about McConnell, the ultimate energizer bunny. 12 points, 6 assists, 9 rebounds, 4 steals. 24 minutes from TJ McConnell. That was awesome. And it's also under the umbrella of, as expected, Spicy P was excellent. 16 points. Obviously, he's got the experience, the ring in Toronto. I thought Nembhard was awesome. 17 points, 5 of 7 from the field. He was making shot after shot. And he was part of that barrage early. How about Nesmith? How about that one sequence where they kept passing? Pass, 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 pass. Not even a bounce pass. Ball didn't even hit the floor. Ridiculously incredible and just amazing, amazing stuff. I watched Obi Toppin on Scott Van Pelt's SportsCenter show after the game. He said we were, quote, resilient and hungry. I love that. 9 threes from Indiana in the first half of this game. Just absolutely off the charts. And look, this is the Pacers' 10th win this postseason as an underdog. 10th win this postseason as an underdog. That is tied for the most in the history of the NBA postseason. That is unbelievable. And if you're an OKC fan or a bettor like me, you have to be concerned from last night. I mean, an opportunity to clinch a championship. Season is a failure for OKC if they don't win at all. And they were embarrassing. It was a grotesque no-show. 1 of 11 from 3 in the first half. 60 points in the first 3 quarters. And I get it. Indiana's well-coached. Great defense. But come on. The better team clearly is OKC. This was absolutely repulsive. They were not ready to play. As SGA said after the game, quote, we suck tonight. That's not good. Felt the weight of trying to win the Larry O'Brien trophy. SGA, who I love, obviously, was awful. 8 turnovers. That's tied for the most in an NBA Finals game in the last 40 years. Jalen Williams was minus 40. Chet Holmgren was a negative. Missed that alley-oop. That was kind of a snapshot of futility for OKC. 2-9, 4 points in the game. Alex Caruso, 0 points. Lou Dort had 3 points. And it was a complete and utter mess. And look, I'm still going to pick, when it's all said and done, I'm still going to pick OKC to win. I still think OKC will be able here to win a championship. You look at the odds, OKC is now minus 330 to win the series. Pacers are plus 260. We officially have a game number 7. And it is noted when you take a look at the point spread for game number 7, I am just absolutely fascinated by the spread of 7.5 points. History for the Thunder says they win and they win by double digits. They're 6-0 this postseason following a loss. 18-2 this season following a loss. The games that they play following a loss in the playoffs, they win by double digits. Vegas knows that. The spread is 7.5. So I still think the Thunder will win. If they don't, the season's a failure. If they do, it's all game on in terms of, okay, SGA, legendary season, legendary campaign of pillar to post for Oklahoma City, everything they accomplished. I will tell you, and we know this, there's no flow, no correlation in the NBA postseason. We've seen it every single level historically. We've seen it all finals long. One game has nothing to do with the next. Boy, that was so bad. There is a stench, right? I'm still picking OKC. I'm still betting OKC 7.5. My confidence level is not what it was. Look, you analyze the game 7 props, and we'll take the over for SGA. We've been betting that all year long, whether it's 29.5 in the regular season, 31.5 in the postseason, 33.5 for game number 7. If I think they're going to win, I'm going to take the over on SGA. I'll take the over on Jalen Williams. I also think taking the over for a guy like TJ McConnell or Obi Toppin, that makes a ton of sense as well. I know role players historically play better when they are at home, but, you know, this combination has been excellent here when you look at it for the Indiana Pacers off the bench. I also think Siakam should have a good game. Take a look at the odds. It has shifted now to win the NBA Finals MVP. There was a point where you thought Jalen Williams might be able to steal it. He's now a 10-1 when you look at the Finals odds MVP. I want you to check out the number on SGA. It is now at minus 220. It was at minus 750, minus 550 throughout the course of these NBA Finals. I would like to alert you to a couple of Pacers now, right? If you think the Pacers are going to win, if you like TJ McConnell, as an example, to do exactly what I just discussed, TJ McConnell, 130-1 for MVP. If you like the Pacers, and I don't, that's where I would sprinkle. I sprinkle a little pizza money on TJ McConnell. I keep looking at that. 130-1 if you believe the Indiana Pacers are going to win game number 7. If they do, I'm telling you, Monday's edition of Make It Rain with Adam Schein, we are going to be destroying here Oklahoma City. I think that the Thunder's still going to win it. I still think this is an epic team. Still think SGA is going to be the MVP. That better be the case after that grotesque no-show by the Thunder last night.
You're watching Make It Rain on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Let me ask you a question. You want to make smarter football bets this season? Start right now with the VSiN Pro. For a limited time, grab our football special at the early bird rate of just $175. Giving you the full access now through the Super Bowl. That includes our NFL betting guide, ultimate playbook with team breakdowns, power ratings, season-long best bets. You also get a daily best bets email from our expert hosts and the guests. Real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa. Live and on-demand shows on the critically acclaimed VSiN Watch app. Deep analytics and the betting tools on VSiN.com. Don't miss the early bird deal. Head on over to VSiN.com/subscribe to lock in your early bird football special for just $175. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back, Make It Rain with Adam Schein. Time right now to shine on some baseball. And listen, it was fight nights in Los Angeles last night. And I want you to stay with me here because I think this entire take and the way that I saw this last night matters big picture from a baseball and a betting perspective for the Padres and the LA Dodgers. Last night, the Padres were able to win. They beat the Dodgers 5-3. And that's huge. They avoid a sweep. The Dodgers, Padres, this is a rivalry. It's a little brother, big brother situation with the Padres as the little brother, the Dodgers as the big brother, the Padres' biggest rival, the Dodgers. And that's an important part of this. The Dodgers' biggest rival, the Giants. They don't view the Padres the same way the Padres view the Dodgers. And last year, there were a lot of baseball people, not me. You know, I had the Dodgers preseason, midseason, postseason series against the Padres. A lot of people thought last year was the Padres' time to shine. Remember, they were up 2-1 in the divisional round. Also, end of September, this all factors in here, they had an opportunity, and they had the lead in game 2 of a 3-game series to leapfrog LA at the beginning of the season. That did not happen. And that was at the end of the regular season before the beginning of the playoffs to win the NL West. And that obviously was problematic. And I think that's all part of the deal here when it comes to what transpired with the ball game last night. We had Jack Little making his major league debut. And he hit Fernando Tatis Jr. with a pitch in the 9th inning. Both benches emptied. Dave Roberts and Mike Schilt, the managers, were jawing at each other, yelling at each other. Both were chucked out of the game. And things got very feisty and very heated. Then, in the bottom of the ninth inning, after Fernando Tatis, Energizer Bunny, excellent player, superstar for the Padres, after he gets hit. And I'm always of the opinion, you don't retaliate, you try to win, right? And I do believe there is a place in baseball for a retaliatory pitch, hit someone in the derriere, in the leg, make him dance, move his feet, whatever it is. So I'm always of the opinion, first, it starts with getting revenge by winning. Then we could talk about right time for a retaliatory pitch. And all of a sudden, there's a couple runners on, and Suarez has to come into the game, the Padres closer, and he enters the game with two on, one out. He gives up a single to the great Tommy Edman, an RBI ground out. It's 5-2. 3-0 count on Shohei Ohtani, runner on third. And Suarez, the closer, the ninth inning of a game against the Dodgers, he hit Shohei Ohtani. This just a half inning later. Ohtani instantly waved off the dugout. You don't need to come out of the dugout. We're not going to clear the benches. Not a big deal. Suarez knew exactly what he was doing. And I loved it. I think for the Padres, they needed to show the Dodgers, we're not going to take it. You hit Tatis, we're going to hit the unicorn. That's a big deal. And then you see Matsui come in, able to get rushing, swinging at the end. Padres able to win 5-3. So that's one of those momentum-wise. Dodgers come out of it feeling great, going to this weekend, taking 3 out of 4 against the Padres. They just took a series against the Giants over the weekend. Top two contenders for them out west in the National League. Padres come out, even though they lost the series, feeling a little energized. I think there's a little juice here for both these teams. I absolutely endorse everything that happened. I'm sure we'll see some suspensions. I wouldn't suspend anybody. That was good old-fashioned baseball justice in a rivalry last night. No issue with anything that transpired. In fact, and I'm watching it live after the NBA game last night, loved every single second of the end and the drama and the heat with the Dodgers and the Padres. Our long national nightmare is over. Yankees won a baseball game. Yankees beat the Angels, snapping their 6-game losing streak. Grisham hit a homer. Goldschmidt hit a homer. Carlos Rodon gave up some homers, but frankly pitched well and was in total command and control. And honestly, this better be a harbinger of things to come. No other way to phrase it. You know, Yankees obviously lose this series to Anaheim, which is illegal in most states, including New York and California. Now the Baltimore Orioles come to town. You should be able to win this series against Baltimore, and you should be able to, frankly, sweep them, get back on track. That's the expectation, beat the teams you're supposed to beat, something that has plagued the Yankees. So it's good to get a win as a Yankee fan. Yankees felt good after that game. Am I going to sit here and, you know, raise the pom-poms because they won one game? No, not going to do that. Still have a lot of concerns, big picture here, about the New York Yankees. We've got Rafael Devers taking on the Boston Red Sox this weekend. Buckle up, Buttercup. This is about as amazing as it gets, drama-filled as it gets. Don't bother me tonight, starting at 10:15 Eastern time. I will be watching the San Francisco Giants and Rafael Devers at home taking on the Boston Red Sox. And honestly, from a betting perspective, I can't bet enough on all Devers props. RBI, home run, extra base hits, base hits. I mean, I'm not worried about a batter pressing tonight. This cat is out for his name, his reputation, and revenge. So I am all in here on the Giants winning, Giants on the money line, and every single Devers prop you could possibly imagine, he's going to pretend that that baseball is John Henry's face or Craig Breslow's face. Can you imagine 1 week ago today telling a Red Sox fan, by the way, next week at this time, you're going to be in San Francisco facing Rafael Devers? I mean, that escalated quickly. That is wild stuff. I still can't get over it. I know the Giants just lost a series. The Red Sox won their first series since the trade. Don't care. On the heels of Mookie Betts, they don't prioritize baseball in Boston anymore, which is a shame for those amazing diehard Red Sox fans. Trade was a nightmare. Everything about it was a nightmare. And I am completely on Team Devers here, and I think he'll get his revenge this weekend. Pirates and the Tigers split a double dip yesterday, and man, what a black eye for baseball. We were so close to getting Skeens versus Scooble. Just wish someone could have been romantic about baseball while trying to win as well. Of course, obviously, you saw Scooble take care of business and win his start last night, 9-2, obviously. And I firmly believe these are the two best pitchers in baseball. And then, of course, you saw Paul Skeens able to take care of business, and you saw Pittsburgh able to get a win. Listen, it's that simple right now when these two pitchers are on the bump in terms of the difference. Tigers, obviously, my team to beat without question in the American League. Pirates, I just wish they cared about baseball and had a team around my guy, Paul Skeens. Mets lost their sixth straight game. Let me tell you something, and I'm allowed to be braggadocious on this because I took a lot of heat and a lot of grief from a lot of Mets fans who watch Make It Rain with Adam Schein. What are you telling me? I was dead wrong on the Mets. Mets pitching has crashed back down to earth. Mets have crashed back down to earth. I, at the end of the day, do not believe in this baseball team. If you're a Mets fan, go back to the Chipper Jones Braves. There's a major element of PTSD here. I mean, this is not what you want. And the pitching was awful again. Olsen had a three-run double. Spencer Strider making strides back to being an ace. 8 strikeouts, 6 innings. This is a big deal here for both the Mets and the Braves. And honestly, if you're a Mets fan, spoiler alert, it's about to get worse. The Mets lose 3 straight against Tampa, 3 straight against Atlanta. Who do they have this weekend? The Phillies in Philadelphia. And old friends, Zach Wheeler, who they did not sign because they did not think he was worth the money and has become a top 5 pitcher in the National League. And I'm obsessed with Zach Wheeler. We have a play on him later in the show for one of our best bets. Wheeler is going to stick it to the Mets. And by the way, I wouldn't be surprised if Philly swept. Not to mention the fact all 3 games are on national TV, so the Mets can continue to be a national joke and embarrassment. Apple TV tonight, Fox on Saturday night, Sunday night baseball on ESPN on Sunday. I can't stress enough how much I like the Phillies tonight, Phillies all weekend, and I'll keep saying it. You know I never waver. I hope you got in when there was major plus money and juice. Phillies to win the NL East.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Edge Boost is the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums, earn cash back rewards, 100% approval for all the betting deposits. Sign up today at edgeboost.bet. Use the promo code RAIN. Deposit $25. Edge Boost is going to match the deposit. That's edgeboost.bet. Welcome back, Make It Rain with Adam Schein. Joining us right now live on the Progressive Guest Line, my guy, the great Jensen Lewis, former MLB pitcher, and the critically acclaimed co-host of VSiN by the Books. We listen, of course, every morning, weekdays 7 to 10 a.m. right here on VSiN. Jensen, welcome to the show, my friend. How are you?
I'm very good. Thanks as always. Appreciate it, and great to be with you, man. Got a big weekend of baseball ahead of us, no question about it.
Listen, I am fired up. It's an unbelievable weekend of baseball. I'm obsessed with baseball, as you know. And let's start with the College World Series. And before we look ahead, Jensen, I just want to go back with you. Because, you know, I bet on LSU to win the whole thing, so I was very much invested. I love the College World Series in general. I still can't believe what we all witnessed with LSU and Arkansas, even days later. Can you break it down? You know, what the hell happened? Not turning the double play? What transpired in the outfield? Every element to that was insane.
No question, Adam. And as a former reliever and closer and big time spots, like Arkansas found itself there in the ninth inning. I still, even on replay, still even in real time, don't know how Vahibo Aloy did not have it already preordained in his mind that if it was hit at him, that would be an automatic try and turn the double play. I still have yet to find a good angle that could make me feel otherwise. But here we are, and it feels like the curse is alive and well in Fayetteville. So they will have another long offseason to contemplate. Conversely, this feels like the Jay Johnson magic yet again. Helps LSU into a spot to now win a national title. And they're about as well equipped as Coastal Carolina to get this thing done. So excited for the matchup. And for as much flack, Adam, as the SEC took for all of really the regional losses, of course, my own Vanderbilt Commodores taking it on the chin as the national number one seed. Here we are. We got another SEC team in the College World Series final to try and take home the national title.
Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing when you take a look at karma, sports gods, SEC. You're right about Jay Johnson. Even going back to the shortstop in, you know, the Arkansas game, I couldn't believe he went to third as opposed to turning the double play. I saw it the same way. Now, I mentioned I bet on LSU to win the entire thing. Who did you bet on? And who do you ultimately think wins now in the College World Series with Coastal Carolina and LSU?
Yeah, obviously, you look back at where Vandy, at one point you could have gotten them at 20-1 even before they elevated up to becoming that national number one seed. I thought North Carolina anywhere in double digits, just knowing their potential path and the pitching that they had would be right for it. And Adam, you know, I was there with ESPN in Chapel Hill doing that super regional, and I could tell you after watching them win 18-2 over Arizona in game one of that super, I thought, well, this thing is 2-Q. This is it, and the ACC might finally have a team that they can feel really good about. But, you know, credit to Chip Hale. I saw, you know, the Tucson regional, covered that last year, in which they did not have a great showing hosting there. But I think a lot of people looked, ironically, at the Conway regional with Coastal Carolina and circled the Florida Gators as potentially that team that not only could come out of it, but Kevin O'Sullivan's crew could get to the College World Series and really be a force to be reckoned with. So the fact that you got a 26-game win streak from a team that was 25-1 to win it all when the field of 64 was set, I think just kind of gives you an idea of where Kevin Chenal's crew believes that they can beat anybody. I don't know if you saw any of the press conference today where, you know, Jacob Morrison, who's likely going to start on Sunday afternoon in game two, I kind of just said, nothing really impresses us about LSU. So, you know, I mean, I love it. These guys are ready to go. They believe they should be there. They didn't celebrate after getting past Louisville and getting to the championship. Nope. So I think we got a heavyweight fight, even though they'll be the underdog in this series.
So take us through some keys here, right? Because LSU is a monster favorite, and I do think LSU is going to win. I love the edge and the energy here from Coastal Carolina. I love how they play. I love what they're doing during this winning streak. I love what they're doing with the press conferences. I agree with you completely. Confidence so important. I don't have to tell you that as a big league pitcher. So what does Coastal Carolina have to do to ultimately win this thing?
First and foremost, I think Cameron Flukie's just got to come out and be himself. You know, he's been someone that's been really, really consistent for them down the stretch. You mentioned Morrison will get the ball tomorrow, either for a chance, or excuse me, on Sunday, for either a chance to win it all or keep their season alive. And then if it gets to Monday, Riley Eichhoff, about as good an option you can have in a winner-take-all game. So let's start with tomorrow. I think we pay close attention first and foremost to the wind. And if it is blowing in a lot, then it maybe plays into Coastal Carolina's way that they want to attack offensively. They're not afraid to do the small ball. They're not afraid to try and create some chaos in the base paths. It may play right into them. But if they need to slug a little bit, then I think an early lead really behooves them and Kevin Schnall of how he wants to position his bullpen resources. So probably more incumbent that Coastal gets the win tomorrow because it allows them much more flexibility of how they can try and attack to get two chances to be able to bring this thing home. Conversely, if you look at Cade Anderson, who has just been utterly dominant down the stretch here for LSU, you get him an early lead, then all of a sudden, you know, Jay Johnson can really play with a lot of different weapons out of that bullpen. You know, Anthony Ianson most likely gets the start on Sunday, but who knows? He could be out of the bullpen in a position to be able to lock down a game one victory. So I'll be interested. You know, the total is the one thing that stood out to me. And Adam, we rarely get these in college baseball where it could be sub nine. And so you look at 8.5 here at Circa, you know, it kind of lends me to a little more over in this spot. No official play from me just yet, but that would be my lean right now, but can't wait to kind of check the money and see where some of those splits are tomorrow afternoon.
I love that, Jensen. Yeah, you never see that, rarely see that with the over-under at 8.5, especially in college baseball. So we're on the same page there. I love listening to you, obviously, here on VSiN in the mornings on all sports, but especially baseball, and want to get your take on some plays and some matchups that interest me. Reds-Cardinals interest me. There are some series maybe that are bigger, or, you know, Devers versus Boston. You know, we could get into that. But Reds-Cardinals, to me, fascinates me. That's a big one. I picked Cincinnati to make the playoffs preseason. I'm not giving up hope yet. I could see the Reds tonight, pitching matchup-wise, winning on the money line. It's a sneaky great series with the Cards and the Reds. You have any plays tonight?
Yeah, definitely. I love the over nine here tonight. And for a Reds offense that you know, has really gone in stretches where they can put up some crooked numbers here. And we get to this point in the calendar, you know, Adam, as you know as well as I do, you get to those flyover states, you get the high heat and humidity, ball's going to start to travel, especially there at Busch Stadium. And so, you know, Brady Singer has had his good starts. He's had his blowups. Andre Pallante kind of the same way here for St. Louis. So the over with the way that both offenses have been swinging the bat, I think we certainly get to nine, if not the double digits tonight.
Yeah, I think that's a good play tonight. How about the Tigers and the Rays? Listen, this could end up being a preview. I mean, not that I'm picking it, but it's not impossible. This could be, sake of fairness to Tampa, an ALCS preview. Like, this to me is the backdrop here for the Rays and the Tigers. I think the Tigers are unequivocally a team to beat. I'm a Yankees fan. I'm not giving up hope quite yet. But I got to give Kevin Cash and company a lot of credit. I kind of really like both these pitchers tonight. Obviously, a lot of runs usually scored in this minor league ballpark. What play do you have tonight with the Rays and the Tigers?
I do think pitching rules the night here, and I think Flaherty and Shane Baz are going to be on their game. I played the under 8.5. I know it'd be a little bit more juice there to the under, minus $1.19. I'm seeing here on DraftKings the under there, the same at Circa. So, you know, to me, you get plenty of swing and miss capability. You're right about George Steinbrenner Field. So, if you want to look at, you know, maybe some player props, left-handed bats always the place to target when you have those home games for the Rays tonight. So, under 8.5, the official play for me in Detroit and the Rays game.
Real quick, Blue Jays, White Sox. Blue Jays, I think, have a real shot to make the playoffs this year. Any plays tonight with Chicago and Toronto?
Yeah, a little turn back the clock here. Old Tiger Spencer Turnbull getting the start here for the Toronto Blue Jays. White Sox had their starter scratched. They'll go with Grant Taylor. I played the run line here for the White Sox, plus 1.5. Kind of a sneaky spot here, opener of a series north of the border. I do think the White Sox do enough to keep this one close tonight, Adam.
Jensen, you're amazing, my friend. Love listening, of course, every single morning. I love watching you guys on the VSiN Watch app. VSiN by the books. Jensen, we appreciate the time. We'll do it again real soon.
Anytime. Thanks, Adam.
Make It Rain on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Are you looking for a more exciting way to bet? It's called xcutta.com. It's spelled X-C-U-T-T-A, and it's the future. Future of futures wagering combines the adrenaline of a live auction with the strategy of sports betting or fantasy picks. Easy to use, works for any sport. Over 1,000 teams, players, golfers, drivers. Xcutta, adaptable to any sport, even horse racing, and it's free to sign up. You pick who you want to bid on, customize your own auction, set your winnings, invite your friends to play. You can even create auctions for free. Xcutta has free auctions every single day at 3, 6, and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. All you got to do is send an email to supports@xcutta.com. Mention VSiN. They'll give you a 3-month player promo code to get started. How sweet is that? Xcutta is a sports Calcutta. Again, that's xcutta.com. Letter X, C-U-T-T-A. Welcome back. Make it rain with Adam Schein. Time right now for our news, notes, nuggets, and nightly plays. And I want to start a little day baseball. Little day baseball today. We've got the Cubbies. We've got the Mariners. Sammy Sosa, finally, welcome back at Wrigley Field. By the way, long time coming. I mean, we all know he used performance-enhancing drugs. But it's like I always say, embrace your fraud, right? Everybody turned the blind eye. The Giants do it right with Barry Bonds. That's the way you should do it, Sammy Sosa. A god in Chicago. I'm glad that finally he's back with the Chicago Cubs organization. The big story today, how about our guy, Cal Raleigh, with another home run. Bam! Just absolutely incredible. And you look at Raleigh, 28th home run of the year. So if you're in a Raleigh prop today, that's awesome. And he ties Johnny Bench most ever in terms of homers by a catcher before the All-Star break. Listen, Cal Raleigh's not winning the MVP in the American League. It's going to be Aaron Judge. But he's number two on the list. He has had a monster season. He deserves all the credit in the world. It is ridiculously amazing watching him rake. Cubbies are leading right now, bottom of the fifth inning, and that is a tremendous, tremendous job here by Cal Raleigh. The Cubs, I mean, you got to give them even more credit here when you look at it for what they've been able to accomplish. Honestly, even for someone like me, I think it's important here. We got to start giving the Cubs even more credit as a team that's going to win a division, potentially get a bye, get a one seed, get a two seed in the National League. So let's make sure we give credit here to the Cubbies. 4-2 lead in the fifth inning over the Seattle Mariners. Nothing like day ball, nothing like day baseball at Wrigley Field. How about what is going on right now when you take a look at the updates at the Travelers Championship? And listen, this is fun. Right now, Justin Thomas is in front, and he's tied with Scottie Scheffler. Both are 9-under. If we can get that to continue, and we could have Thomas and Scottie Scheffler, Danny McCarthy, 7-under, Jason Day, 7-under, Nick Taylor, 6-under, Wyndham Clark is 5-under. Just a couple of names that interest me. Keegan Bradley is 5-under. That's good stuff here if we can get that moving forward to the weekend for the action to see who ultimately could win at the Travelers Championship, which is a lot of fun. You know, some people consider that the fifth major. Look, a lot of great golfers. And the longer it goes with Scottie Scheffler, who's 1-under today, Justin Thomas -6. Listen, longer it goes, Scheffler at the top, especially after what happened at the U.S. Open. Obviously, the favorite becomes Scottie Scheffler to capture the Travelers Championship. Connor McDavid yada, yada, yada'd his future in Edmonton. And if I'm a fan here of the Edmonton Oilers, I am very, very concerned. He was asked about, at the end of the day, if he felt like he could win in Edmonton at a season-ending news conference. And he gave a pretty stock answer, long answer, and then added, this is where he yada, yada, yada it. If you remember that classic Seinfeld episode, I know that you do. 4 words that you just don't want to hear. With that being said, uh-oh, and the antennas go up. Because whatever you say with that being said, now you're about to speak the truth. Ultimately, this is McDavid talking here. I still need to do what's best for me and my family, and that's who I have to take care of first. Oh, boy. We are talking about 1 year left on McDavid's deal. I want you to take a look at the odds to win a Stanley Cup because it is fascinating in how it relates to McDavid. look, the Panthers are a juggernaut. Panthers have, I mean, and McDavid has lost the last 3 years twice to the Panthers, one to Colorado. He's lost to teams that have ultimately won Lord Stanley Cup, right? So, you know, we could say there's no shame in that game when it comes to losing, you know, to Vegas, then losing to the Panthers a couple times. But he still needs to be in position to win a Stanley Cup. The team that's posted here that makes the most sense, especially if the Marner money comes off the books, is Toronto. I mean, they need to do anything and everything to go get Connor McDavid. I don't see Connor McDavid saying, I want to take my talent to Tampa Bay. You know, the Rangers, the Bruins, the Blackhawks, the Red Wings, classic teams, they're not ready. I'm sure they want Connor McDavid. I just don't think that McDavid could look at those teams realistically and say, he'll have a better chance to win a ring. The only other exception, right, I think they'd ride if they sent them to Vegas because, you know, that would help them propel Vegas to a cup and he would win one in Vegas, like, instantly. If Connor McDavid ever went to the Golden Knights, I would pick them in a heartbeat to win a Stanley Cup. The Kings at 20-1, that's the team to watch. And obviously, there's awful example and precedent of Gretzky going from Edmonton to L.A. a lifetime ago. Man, you could argue McDavid's putting the pressure on the team and the organization. You know, let's get a better goalie. Let's get some better defense. You know, let's get what Florida has when we look at the Panthers. Man, if I'm the Maple Leafs, I hear that after he yada, yada, yada'd his future. And I'm saying, you know what? It's like another Seinfeld line when, you know, George is going to take that ride to the Hamptons with Susan's parents. You want to get nuts? Let's get nuts. Speaking of nuts, I bet everything on Caitlin Clark last night and I lost. That was the worst game of her career last night. And I can't believe it. They were facing the Golden State expansion team. Now 6-6 on the season. And I am just stunned. Absolutely stunned. I mean, I thought this was going to be a lock. Caitlin Clark last night, 11 points, 9 assists, 7 rebounds, 0-7 for 3. Now, she did hit on the over for rebounds and for assists, so we split it last night, 2-2, but I wasn't even in the ballpark in terms of threes. It was over 3.5. Or for points last night, the Fever will take on the Aces coming up on Sunday, and that should obviously be a good one. Brianna Stewart was dominant, but the Liberty lost last night to the Mercury, 89-81. Stewie with a season-high 35 points. I still think there are four teams, when you look at the championship odds, that can win a title in the WNBA. I would rank it Liberty, Lynx, Aces, Fever in terms of how they're playing now. But my preseason bet was on Indiana. You can get the Fever right now at plus 460. Time right now to give out the best bets. They're brought to you by GBank. Introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bets, and Visa. All you got to do is open up a GBank Visa Signature credit card. First 90 days, deposit, play through $1,000. First bet to trigger the trifecta. You'll receive $200 of cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. First bet's going to give you a $100 deposit match. Visa completes the trifecta with a free Visa Pro subscription through October the 31st. $200 value. That's a $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and Visa. And all you got to do is head on over to Visa.com/GBank, Visa.com/GBank. One-time promotion limited to customers opening up a new account. The response to this offer will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today, and terms and conditions apply. We've got bets upon bets tonight. You ready? Jacob DeGrom over 6.5 strikeouts, minus 105. Zach Wheeler against the Mets over 6.5 strikeouts, minus 135. Rays on the money line. I'm so into that game tonight. Minus 110 against the Tigers. That's a really good pitching matchup. Giants on the money line against the Red Sox. And let's go with the Reds on the money line, plus 122, taking on the Cardinals. And hey, NBA play for game 7 will go SGA over 33.5 points at minus 110. Coming up next, follow the money, my guys, Mitch and Paulie. Thanks to my guy, Evdog, and everybody in the Vegas control room. Thanks to our incredible producer, the great Mike Cohen. Have a great weekend. Talk to you Monday. Make it rain with Adam Shine.